reports of the demise of Netflix appear to have been exaggerated.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. After trading wrapped up on Wall Street yesterday, we found out how Netflix did at the end of last year. The headline number? $41 million in profit. Not all that impressive for a big company like Netflix. But what is impressive is that the subscribers are coming back after fleeing last year over a price increase. And as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, the new customers are doing just what Netflix wants them to do. They're signing up to stream video online.
Last year, Netflix hiked its prices by as much as 60% and moved to split off its famous DVD-by-mail service from streaming video. Subscribers were not happy. 800,000 people cut ties with Netflix, but now nearly all have returned.
People forget. You know, they don't like it. There's a protest. They use their feet and walk away, but then they move on.
Ken Doctor is a media analyst with the consulting firm Outsell. He says Netflix got ahead of its customers, but now its subscribers have caught back up. They're starting to choose streaming over old-fashioned DVDs. But he says that success presents Netflix with a new problem. It's known for all those DVDs you can get in the mail. Its streaming library isn't nearly as deep.
The next customer dissatisfaction to look at is, are there enough movies to keep me paying a subscription price to Netflix for streaming?
Plus, Netflix isn't the only company to realize the potential of streaming. It's already facing competition from Hulu, and Netflix says Amazon is planning to compete directly with them. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Later this morning, the Conference Board will give us some data that can be used as an economic forecast. It's called the Leading Economic Index. But this time, the way the numbers are crunched will be different. Marketplace's Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio has been looking at how the economy can better serve more people going forward, and he joins us now from New York to discuss. Good morning, David.
Hi, Jeremy.
So first tell us about the old-fashioned economic index that we've had up until now.
Its traditional grab bag was everything from building permits to different surveys of consumer confidence. And then there was this thing called, I hope you're sitting down, it was called the real money supply. Hmm. It's not all that complicated. It's money. It's coins, paper currency, stuff that you have by your bedside on the little table there over by your nightlight. It's also your savings accounts, your traveler's checks. Used to be, back in the day when I was a boy, that was a pretty good indicator of the economy because that's where a lot of our money was. But not so much anymore.
So now they're going to change this into a new leading economic index.
Yeah, and here's why.
The financial marketplace has become much more complex.
That's Annette Ozel-Dirham, who directs economic research for the Conference Board, the business research group that pulls together the leading economic index. It's more complex, he says, and we have all these wonderful different places to put our money, not just coins and savings accounts, right? They're credit cards. You can write those fakey little checks that draws money right from your home equity
right.
line if you want to. So the newfangled Model Year 2012 Leading Economic Index is going to have something called credit in it.
The new Leading Credit Index should give us a better picture of all the different types of credit activity and how that might impact and interact with the economic cycle.
So this credit index is embedded in the overall newfangled leading economic indicators. And Jeremy, it makes sense, right? If you want to get a sense of where the economy is going, why not ask a loan officer at a bank? You know, are you lending these days?
That's right. You've got to talk about the money that we're spending that we don't have, as well as the money we're spending that we do.
Beautifully put.
Marketplace's Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio. David, thanks.
You bet.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up more than 1% across Europe right now. After the Federal Reserve said yesterday it's keeping interest rates near zero for 3 more years, the Fed also left open the option of another round of bond buying to boost lending. Meanwhile, Walmart is saying goodbye to its signature greeters, at least during the overnight hours at Walmart supercenters across the country. The company says it's doing so to save money and ensure its signature low prices. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 81 points, about 0.6%, to close at 12,756.
Do
you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
In Jacksonville, Florida tonight, the four remaining Republican candidates for president will debate each other yet again. But unlike the last debate on Monday night, the audience will be allowed to cheer and jeer the candidates as much as they want. The audience has become a key player in the debates this year. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports now on how exactly the audience members are chosen.
Debate audiences are picked by the sponsor. The Florida Republican Party is the main sponsor of tonight's face-off. Florida GOP spokesman Brian Hughes says seats will go to rank-and-file members, and they can hoot and holler all they want.
You know, some of the energy that an audience filled with grassroots people can bring, we see that as part of the energy of the debate itself.
That energy exploded in a debate last week when Newt Gingrich attacked the media.
I am tired of the elite media protecting Barack Obama by attacking Republicans.
Paul Light teaches political science at New York University. He says wild applause can influence a debate's TV audience.
And you kind of forget what the candidate just said, and you just say, wow, these people love him, therefore I should love him.
CNN is moderating tonight. If things get rowdy, it says it'll ask the audience to refrain. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally to Groupon, which is being called a snake oil salesman in the UK, and with good reason. The company advertised a deal last year for wrinkle killer snake serum. It claimed customers who rubbed the snake oil on their skin would remove wrinkles and look younger. But the Advertising Standards Agency in the UK ruled that Groupon couldn't substantiate the claim and therefore shouldn't sell snake oil anymore. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.